First Peter chapter 1. And we are going to begin with verse 22. First Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 22. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living, enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. Amen. Well, I know he's jumping in the middle of a discussion, but I think we can hit it right here without feeling like we're taking things out of context. It says, now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth. So, interesting thing, because it's not talking specifically about God doing the purifying, it's talking about us doing the purifying. So you can say, well, we're the ones that clean up our own act? Well, not entirely. You got a two-part thing going on. Number one here, and you look at the scripture, is we have his truth that he has given us. And then our part is applying his truth that he has given us. You see, it's not just hearing it. It's hearing it and applying it. And there's something that goes on in that whole process of hearing it and applying it where purification takes place within us. There's something about God's word that it is the truth. And it is the truth that is connected with the creative force that made this whole world and this whole universe. It's connected to the Lord Jesus Christ because he is the truth. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. And when we receive his truth, when we receive his word, it is something precious. And when we receive it as something precious, and then we act on it accordingly, it has a cleansing effect upon our lives. Because the truth is that we have lots of stimuli that comes our way. We have lots of things that come our way telling us how to do things and how to look at things and how to think about things. But when we receive truth from God and we recognize it as truth, we recognize it as from God, we recognize it as something precious, and then we act according to it, it has a purifying effect upon us. So it's not just hearing it, it's hearing it and putting it into practice. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. God gives us his word, and we obey it. And that's what works. Last week in church, I heard the pastor share something in his message I thought had a huge impact. And afterwards, I researched it and tried to find it somewhere else, and I couldn't. But here's how it works. He talks about the law of the path. And here's how the law of the path works. It says, our decisions will determine our destination, not our intentions. Our decisions will determine our destination, not our intentions. Now, the pastor at that church happened to know who I was, and so he used this illustration in church. He goes, I could tell everybody that I want to go visit Doug and Tammy in Central Florida. I could say that's what I'm going to do, and that I want to get there, and I want to go see Mickey Mouse, and I want to go to SeaWorld, and I want to enjoy all the wonderful things in Central Florida. He goes, but here's how it works. If I pull out of the parking lot and I turn north and I keep going north, I can tell people that my intention is to go and see Doug and Tammy in Claremont, Florida. But what's going to happen is eventually I'm going to hit the border, and it's not going to be the border with Florida. I'm going to be hitting the border with Canada, because I could say that my intentions were to go to Central Florida, but my decisions are reflecting that I'm going north, headed to Canada. And really, where we're going to end up with in life is going to be a reflection of the decisions we make, not our intentions. Some people will say that they have certain fitness goals. I had this friend of mine who I used to know from Dunkin' Donuts, and I remember she told me what her goals were. She was going to get in, she was going to be training, and her plan was she was going to do a half marathon, and she already picked out a date and told me when her race was going to be. And in order to do that, she was going to be doing this. She went down through a list of what she was going to do for training. And then she thought after she did that, she wanted to compete in her first triathlon. I said, well, that's exciting. And reached into her purse, and she got some kind of powdery stuff. And she poured it into her water bottle. I'm like, what's that? And she goes, well, it's a little bit energy drink, but it has a lot of vitamins and minerals, and that supports in our training. I said, wow, that's wonderful. And then she went up to the counter, and she bought herself a nice big donut. I said to her, I said, so I take it the nutrition drink is going to help wash down the donut. I just kind of left it like that. And I'm pretty sure that other than buying the packet of those little envelopes, buying the box of those little envelopes to pour in the water, I think that's all that happened on her training, because she never did end up really doing any training. So she never really got in shape for the race, and the race just never happened. You see, she had the intentions, but when it actually came down to the decisions that she was making, the decisions were different than the intentions. And going back to our scripture here, if our goal is to, in our life, to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ and to be His, then it involves a lifestyle of when He makes truth evident to us, we receive it and cherish it and hold on to it and we live it. And that's the law of the path. Now, this response in obedience is going to naturally overflow into good things. And here they talks about, says, since you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have. Now, he's going to talk about what's going to grow out of that. And the thing he talks about what grows out of it, he goes, you have sincere love for your brothers and sisters in the Lord. Therefore, love one another deeply from the heart. This response as of obedience to God's truth will naturally lead to love for our brothers and sisters who are walking in the light. If you are walking in the light and you desire to walk in the light, you are going to find that you are going to have a natural love for other people that are walking in the light. You are going to long to be with them. Because when you are around other people that are walking in the light, it will strengthen you. When you are around other people that are walking in the light, you will be encouraged by being around them. Because, you know, there's a lot of things that you go through and how you think about things and how you deal with things that you know that they're going through the same thing in their own way. And you know that you'll draw strength by hearing how they're trying to walk with God. And you know that you will be a strength to them. So this love for our brothers and sisters who are walking in the light, it's a natural thing. Now, someone may ask the question, they may say, well, do you have to go to church to be a Christian? Well, how about I answer that with a question? Do you have to live together if you're married? I guess not necessarily. You know, Sharon could meet a really nice guy and say, I like his last name, and he says, I like your first name. They said, wouldn't it be kind of neat we get married? Okay. Well, he lives in Toledo and she lives here. And they never see each other. And they never talk to each other. But Sharon would have a wedding ring on her finger and he'd have a wedding ring on his finger. People would ask him, he'd say, yeah, I'm married. Married to a girl named Sharon who lives in Central Florida. And Sharon could say, yeah, I'm married to a guy who lives in Toledo. Could they be married? Yeah, I guess. But that's not the way it's supposed to be. If you're married to somebody, you assume that you love each other and that you're together all the time. I mean, you're like peas and carrots or like Dave and Deb Adams, you know? You just... No, when you're married, you want to be with your spouse and you want to do everything with them. I mean, last night as I was laying in bed, and like, I'm just telling you personally, for me personally, almost every single day, the first thing I pray about before I even open my eyes is I thank God for Tammy. And usually the last thing I pray about before I go to bed is I thank God for Tammy. And like, I don't want to disturb her. We got one of these jumbo king beds, so I mean, she's like literally a half a mile over there. So I'll reach the hand over, and I kind of have planned the height, because if I go up too high, I'm going to poke her in the eye, and if I go down low, I'm going to get whacked. So I got to pick the right level so that maybe I can catch her elbow, because that won't wake her up. And I just kind of touch her elbow, and I think, thank you, God. It's like, help me to be a good husband. Help me to do a little better. Thank you that I get to enjoy life with her. And but I think she's a gift from God, and I cherish our time that we have to be together, and I love it. I love it. I love. Yesterday we went for a bike ride in the morning. I guess Kana saw us heading, and you know, I thought to myself, everything. The morning was beautiful and warm, and in the lake. Isn't it so beautiful being out there, Kana? It's so nice. And I get to be with Tammy, and I thought, I am so completely happy. Now, for a Christian, if you are walking with the Lord Jesus Christ and you are loving Him, being in fellowship with other Christians is going to be a natural thing. Now, sometimes do you meet people that maintain something of a Christian life who don't go to church anywhere? Yes, but usually what you're going to find out is that there's something that has gone on in their life and they have some hang up with the church in some way, and that's why they keep separate from it. It's sort of like a dysfunctional situation. You know, they know about the Lord Jesus Christ, but they got some kind of mental hang up with going to a church. That's not the best way, because we are supposed to be in fellowship with one another and growing in our love for one another. So again, it says, since you've been so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. Verse 23, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living, enduring word of God. Something imperishable is something that's never going to die. And we have been born of God, born of imperishable seed. Therefore, we need to think like people who are going to live forever. And don't just think like people that are only going to be here for a season. So if you know that you're going to live forever, we realize that there's things that we are doing in this world that are going on ahead of us that we're going to be very glad we did in eternity. Like here's one, self-denial. There's sometimes when there's things that we might like to do that we don't do because us not doing it actually achieves a greater purpose. There's sometimes, here, let me use an old illustration. This is a good one. I remember way back when Ted Savarda used to go to this church, worked for a construction company, and wanted to get his family a new TV, wanted to buy a big TV, and had been saving his money up, had finally saved up all his money, and the plan was is after church they were going to get lunch, and then he was going to go to the store and he was going to buy a family TV. And it was, I think it was in June, because we were talking about a vacation Bible school we were doing, and the problem was is that in order to pull it off, we needed a little bit more money to do this and this. And we kind of explained to the church what we needed. And everybody listened. And when church was over, everybody left. And as I'm getting ready to shut the lights off and walk up and lock the doors, Ted walked back in. And he goes, I got the money for your vacation Bible school. I'm like, okay. He goes, I went home and I had the money saved. And I was going to buy a TV, but I just felt in my heart that that wasn't what I was supposed to do right now. I'm supposed to do this. I'll be able to get my TV some other time. I didn't know what to say other than thank you. We had the money to do what we do for a VBS, and he left. And, you know, it was a couple of years ago, Ted wanted to see me in my office. He goes, I just want to thank you. I go, what are you thinking? He goes, well, he goes, I remember back then. He goes, when I first started coming to church. He goes, you're the one that taught me about tithing, and you taught me about putting God first. And he goes, I believed you when I did it. And he goes, I don't just work for my company anymore. I'm a partner in my company. There's three of us that own the company now. And now the company that I'm part owning is building resorts for Disney. And I've got money to do whatever I wanted to. And I think a lot of that has to do with lessons that I learned back here. By putting God first, because he goes, I feel like it's all connected to the Lord. You know, he did learn an important lesson. You see, he exercised some self-denial at a point because he felt like it was for something that was bigger. He wasn't like living for the day as if my needs on this day are the most important things. No, we realize that there are things that go beyond our desires on this day to things that are more important. And we're not living like this is all there is. Again, it says, we have been born, again, born not of perishable seed, but born of imperishable seed. He says, for all men are like grass, and their glory is like the flower of the field. Now, what is our glory? What is glory? And I tried to come up with a good definition, and I needed to pull out a good Unger's Bible Dictionary to get the help I needed. Glory is the exercise and display of what constitutes the distinctive excellence of the subject of which it is spoken. I know you're like, oh, wow, that was hard, Pastor Doug. Can you read that again? Sure. Glory is the exercise and display of what constitutes the distinctive excellence of the subject on which it is spoken. So when you're talking about in respect to God, this glory is the manifestation of his divine attributes and his perfections, or such as the visual effluence as indicators of his possession and presence of these. His glory. Well, in a temporal sense, what can we look at is our glory. Sometimes people look at their glory as their possessions. Some people, their glory is their athletic achievements. You know, wouldn't it be nice? I was talking to a guy who's one of these Olympic sprinters. And you think about it, he literally was born with the ability to run faster than other people. And because of that, he gets paid a lot of money and gets to live a certain lifestyle because he can run faster than anybody else. I mean, the life lottery, he really hit the life lottery. Our temporal glory, our sense of style. You know, in this life, you know, our sense of style, our attractiveness, our desirability to the opposite sex, our fame, our awards, our list of adventures that we get to enjoy in life. They're all things that are part of our temporal glory. But you think about it, none of those things last. They all are for a time, but then they're gone. And the truth is that all these earthly things that we can put so much into are things that aren't going to last. You know, in the past year, I've been doing a lot of work on my own birth family and such, and oh, I'll tell you, my birth mother, she was beautiful. She always wanted to be discovered and be a movie star, and she hobnobbed with all sorts of folks. And I've seen the pictures of her. I mean, she was one that would walk in the room and get lots of attention. But that only goes so far. As she slipped into her senior years, that was a hard thing. She tried to maintain it as long as she could. Time had caught up with her. And for all of us, these things and these temporal things, they're things that just aren't going to last. And think about your sense of style. I was voted best dressed in my high school when I was a senior. My kids laugh at me now. Things that used to be cool, they'd only last for a little bit. I was telling the seniors recently, well, a couple of months ago before they graduated, I said, you know, there's some of these things you're really into, like your music and your hairstyles and your clothes. I said, just wait about 3 years from now and people will be laughing at you. And they looked at me like I didn't understand anything. And then I started talking about High School Musical. And half of the class laughed because they're like, High School Musical? Ha, 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 ha. That's so old-fashioned. And there was a couple kids that were like, I still remember it. I still like it. Something that was all the rage, and then it just passed, for it had its time. The point is that we have not been born just for a season. Our lives are not just what we, you know, you get to be a child, you get to be a teenager, you get to be a young adult, you get to, maybe if you're blessed, get to be married and have children, and then maybe grandchildren. You move into those senior years, and then at some point you get sickly, and then some point you die. I mean, you could say, there's life. And I want to tell you, we have not been born of perishable seed. There is more to us than just this whole life cycle. We have been born of imperishable seed, but there's things that we can do and accomplish in this life when we are a child, when we are a teen, when we are a young adult, when we are all the way through the stages that have implications for all of eternity. And we need to live our lives in recognition of the fact that we are going to live forever if the Lord Jesus Christ is in our heart and life. And so there may be certain things at certain stages of the life where we may be tempted to do, but we have to ask ourselves the question, when we think about eternity, what is the best thing to do? When we think about eternity, what am I going to look back on and I'm going to be really glad that I did that? And there's sometimes when the demands of the moment want to take control and we want to act in the moment. But we got to realize that we aren't just here for a season. All men and women are like grass, and their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. So he's comparing all the little things in our life to the word of the Lord. And going back, we have been born again, born of imperishable seed. And go back a little bit further, we have been given his word. What a privilege. But not just to take it, but to take it and obey it. Amen. Well, let me pray for you. And then we're going to close out this service. Dear God, we love you. And it's hard and it's easy to think about eternity. It's hard because we don't know what it's like. But in some ways it seems like it's easy because when we think about pets that we love, it seems like their life just goes by so quick, and we just wish they wouldn't get any older. We wish that they could be healthy and they could be with us all the way through. And it reminds us of being together with maybe a loved one who has died, and we think that same thing. We wish we could go back to the time when they were healthy and well. And we wish they wouldn't get any older. And we wish we could always have them there with us so that we could call them on the phone or we could go over to their house and visit them. And we wish it would go on forever and ever. And Lord, you have placed within our hearts a hope for eternity. And because of what Jesus has done, you have started life within us that will outlive our bodies. I pray, Lord, that the way we live and the choices we make would reflect a people that knows they're going to live forever. I pray, Lord, that if your needs and requirements of us require us to employ some self-denial, that we wouldn't shirk away from it, or some self-discipline, or some hard work, or maybe even sacrifice. Help us to live according to the truth that we have been born to live forever with you. Thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you for what you've taught us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.